Welcome to Piercing the Veil on BBSRadio.com, a show for truth seekers and rebels. Join us every week as we obliterate willful ignorance, corruption, globalist agendas, and more. Tune in every Sunday at 5 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Pacific, and listen carefully as we provide crucial solutions, information awareness, and unique life hacks to improve our planet. Pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.
All right. Welcome back, world, to another episode of Piercing the Veil. We're live today, March 5th, 2017. Almost a quarter of the way through the new year already. Lots of good stuff to come. Lots of crazy stuff happened so far. We've done a couple current event episodes, so you guys can catch up on those in the past two episodes if you want to hear about that. Corey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jordan. Nice weather where I'm at. The wind is up and blowing a lot, so it's a lot of energy in the air. It's just it's been a energetic, mellow but yet productive Sunday. How about that?
Excellent. Yeah, we're just gonna steam right along with that flow that you described—a mellow flow. Today's episode is really just about the rise of the information warrior, how independent journalism investigations have really shaped the course of not only 2015 but 16 and now 17 as well, with a large part of that being during the middle part, which is 2016, also with the elections and the WikiLeaks and everything that's coming out. So we'll give a few notable mentions in there. We can't get to everybody, obviously. There's a lot of good people working, including ourselves, to get valuable, crucial information out in the face of oppression, essentially, and constant monitoring and wiretapping. You know, case in point, you've got this, and the media will spin it completely differently. Trump accuses Obama of spy tapping his phones with no evidence. Like, literally, the no evidence thing came out in six different headlines. So you can tell that it was scripted, a controlled opposition response that came from the top down. When you see certain catchwords that are buzzing across multiple publications, if you will, or fake news, then you can really ascertain that there's some sort of central narrative that's being pushed as sort of like a control factor to control news that's coming out. And the news that came out is that a FISA warrant was obtained in the months, actually the year prior to the general election and during up to the general election. A FISA warrant, which is a Foreign Intelligence Security Court or something like that. It's basically what the NSA uses to get their wiretapping, warrantless wiretapping orders and stuff like that. And essentially it came out and showed, the record showed that there was two of those applied for by the Obama administration, as FBI and all that, and they mentioned Trump's name. One of them was denied, one of them was granted. So you actually, it's just like literally you are watching the deep state crawl out from under its rock and do whatever it can to try to stop what's happening across the globe. Okay, you had Brexit before the general election. You have Donald Trump. No matter what you think about him, he does represent a nationalist, populist agenda for the most part. He seems to be pulled in a couple different ways by some of his advisors, especially in the oil and gas fields and different things like that. But there's a lot of good people that are making contact with him right now and just telling him, hey, look, don't get lost, don't get divided, don't get sucked up, don't get blackmailed like all these other presidents. You know, keep your promises, let's restore the republic, things like that. And let's be honest, I'm not relying on a corporate U.S. president, which the previous ones have been puppets for the most part, but I'm not relying on that to make change. I'm doing it myself in my own community, providing solutions, researching solutions, going door to door, doing all these different types of things.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. You know, okay. I think people put a lot of energy into what presidents are supposed to do. And they don't work for you.
Yeah, clean up your own fucking house and then maybe go bitch about the fact that you didn't know another house was running your life.
Yeah.
You know? So essentially, we wouldn't know about all these things if it wasn't for WikiLeaks and whistleblowers and people that are willing to just literally put their entire reputation and, in most cases, their life on the line subject themselves to etheric attacks and actual physical poisonings and things like that. You've got the likes of David Icke, David Wilcock, Corey Good, some of these secret space program whistleblowers. And so basically, this entire show is going to be dedicated to, I would say, understanding why these people do what they do, including us. Why do we do what we do in the face of all this? What does it truly mean to be free? Right, Corey, you hear that, you hear that, it's basically just bantered around left and right. You know, freedom isn't free, and freedom, and all these different types of things. You understand? So I want to get a little bit into that. First, I'll ask you, what exactly do you think freedom means?
Well, freedom is, it's not free to do whatever you want. You know, it's free to make your own decisions, make your own choices, so long as you don't harm others in the process, I suppose.
That's exactly where I was going too. And we've had some experience, like testing the boundaries and finding the limits of what we think is our freedoms by actually doing things that most people won't do, like what these Freeman guys are doing, is sending all these bonds and things like this willy-nilly. We actually did a lot of time and research in, okay, what is the purpose of this? What is the authority behind it as far as legislation? Why are we doing this? Why should we send this off and try to see if the bank will accept it and discharge our mortgage and so on and so forth? Like, everybody's been trying these things, but they lack the understanding that there's a follow-up duty for enforcement. And so what that really means is that with every right, not just the stuff we described to you just now, but with every right, there comes a duty. Okay, and so freedom, essentially, to me, it means the ability to create or originate your rights without interference. Rights stem from freedom. That's one thing that most people instinctively get. They don't understand that there's a difference between privileges and rights. And we talked about this a little bit last episode. I get into Facebook beefs at least 3 or 4 times a week over this because people don't understand. Rights are not given. They're not granted to you. If anything's granted or given to you or recognized, if somebody recognizes one of your rights, they're giving you the privilege of saying, hey, I see you're using that right. I recognize it. I won't fuck with you on it, right? It doesn't mean you've gotten those rights all of a sudden. If they didn't exist before you were asking for them to be recognized, then how could they be recognized? Right. You understand? Right. So all these
it's not permission.
That's right.
Rights are not permission. And the Constitution doesn't grant anybody any rights. It protects certain rights that we have inherently as human beings.
That's right. That's right. And the Constitution is actually tied into a number of different documents. And the whole thing basically encompasses a Chapter 11 long-term reorganizational bankruptcy plan. That's what it is, essentially. The national debt is being reorganized every 70 years. And all it takes is for one motherfucker to actually listen to the smartest people in the country who know the secret history of the United States, people like me, Anna von Reitz, all sorts of other people. And actually, a lot of my detailed understanding where the blanks were filled in was from that woman. She's a wonderful, fantastic researcher. Anna von Reitz is her shortened name. She's got a really long name, A-N-N-A-V-O-N-R-E-I-T-Z. You guys should definitely check her out. Just years worth of valuable material. And everything that I knew to be true was confirmed through her understanding and research, and was really particularized and compartmentalized, if you will, to where I have now a really good, better understanding of all these different things and how they went down and the legislative acts behind them and the events and so forth that occurred. So essentially, freedom really means, in today's day and age, in the digital age, freedom means the ability to share, to create, produce, and share information without being interfered with unlawfully, which a lot of these people, like Anna, like I just mentioned, are being attacked left and right. And it's not necessarily by who you would think. It's not like an overt, Corey, it's not like an overt attack by the government, or she's not being gang stalked or harassed by, you know, different agents or paid people or whatever to stalk her and, you know, harass her and scare her and shit like that, which happens to a lot of people, mainly whistleblowers. But what she is encountering is paid disinformation trolls or just brainwashed people that are defending the system. You know what I mean? Just the first instinct is just to defend the system. And that's why I really like the Matrix movies, because they really have a lot of powerful points, you know, that these people will actually die to protect the system they don't even know about, which they think is freedom.
Right. Okay?
So we touch a little bit on rights and duties. If you want, can you just like intro that a little bit? Tell us what you know about rights and duties, because we've been studying that for a long time, way before MIC, Mastering Commerce.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one thing that comes to mind when you talk about rights and duties is that if you stop to think about it, a lot of things that are inherently natural for us to be able to do in this country requires a license.
Or permission.
But literally, license. License means permission to do something that would otherwise be illegal or unlawful. You need a license to get married. You need a license to travel the highways. You need a license to do business. You need licenses to pretty much do everything that is inherent to being a human being on the planet. All right. So, for instance, marriage. When you enter into holy matrimony with your partner, that has nothing to do with the state. So there's, you know, there's common law marriage, and then there's a marriage recognized by the state, which to my understanding is actually a merger of two corporations.
It's a third party contract.
Yeah. And you're getting permission to merge your corporation, your straw man, social security number, blah, 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 with your partner's straw man, social security, blah, 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 which are legal fictions and which were created and which are under the auspices of the state corporations and the federal corporation.
That's right.
So I would encourage anyone to look at the licenses that are required. And if you look at them, I think you'll begin to understand that the overlay of the de facto state or the corporate state over the de jure state. You'll see that there are two things going on. One is overlaid on top of the other.
Yeah, it's pervasive, Corey. It's privileges being packaged and put it with pretty bows on them. The privileges are presented as rights,
right,
whereas the rights had already existed. The right to create a life is already existed. The right to create an estate for that life, meaning you create a child, you also can form a legal estate on your own and give it a number if you want to. You don't have to get an EIN number. It's just like forming an LLC or anything like that. And you go and you trademark that baby's name as the name of that entity or that estate. And therefore, you've protected it in the commercial realm from being taken as chattel property and on the high seas. There's inland piracy that's occurring. It's been occurring for years, hundreds of years. And it's being orchestrated by international bankers working on behalf of the Illuminati families, who then work on behalf of the energetic alliances like the Archons and Reptilians and so on and so forth. It goes on up the scale to the Chimera group and probably on past that as well. Again, like we mentioned in our last show, evil and negativity is an anomaly. It's not equally balanced with good per se. There's not like an equal amount of evil in the universe as they're what you would term good. It's not, oh, we need bad to see the good. We need to have the opposites to distinguish between the two. No, that's not correct. Those two things only exist in certain contexts and situations as an anomaly. And part of the anomaly is your belief that you need one to know the other, which is bullshit. If something exists, it exists. And also, if you try to define it based on the experience of something else, especially its opposite, like people are saying that's what you should do. Oh, you can't have light without the dark because you have to have the contrast. That's true, again, in context. But on the bigger picture scale, that's not true. Because if you're really operating your perception of what you think light is purely based upon your experience of the dark as a contrast, then you're not really seeing it for what it really is, are you? Mm-hmm. You're comparing. And yes, while that might be useful in context, it's not useful if you're multidimensionally looking at the thing from without ego, okay? So what I'm saying is good and bad things happen in your life. Everybody knows this. And sometimes they happen at the same time. Sometimes they happen in groups of shitty and awesome things at the same time. And a lot of people I see are having this cognitive dissonance of, I know where I want to go with my life. I know I can manifest things in my life. And they manifest things. And then the system, the archonic energetic system, pushes back and manifests as what you would call anomalous, thank you, tongue twister. They're trying to use these events that are created, fictioned, or fabricated, if you will, and put them, the timing of them in your life and occurring in your life at the same time as these huge events that would move you forward. So if you were to expand your consciousness because of this life-changing event, and all the signs of these little good mini events are happening in your life, getting ready, and you can feel something big's coming, and you know that you're trying to manifest a house or whatever you're trying to do, then all of a sudden, boom, you get arrested or something like that. Cancel. Obviously, listeners, I'm not putting that on you. But people know what I'm talking about. They've experienced shit like that before. This, something that comes in just knocks it all out. And they have this sort of cognitive dissonance, which is just an emotional breakdown almost, or a mental psyche breakdown, where they just can't understand it and they give up, or they just act out, or they act on trauma, or whatever the case may be. You just need to understand that if you simply remember what you want, simply remember that no matter what you want, or excuse me, no matter what happens, what you want will eventually come true, and this too will shall pass. Okay, if you can get yourself back into that mind state and refocus, that's all it takes. They're like ankle biters, right? They can't shoot you or kill you in most cases, these archons or these energetic influences negatively, but they can like trip you, like they stick their foot out while you're walking around the corner and shit like that. And so the trick is not to be mad and go chase them, because then they feed off your anger and they get you, and they just, it just like compiles on itself like a snowball. The trick is to be like, oh yeah, good one, thanks you douchebag, and just keep walking, refocus on your plan. And so really, when people get stopped, Corey, it's typically, if they can't find a physical reason for it, or they know that something else is going on, it's an archonic influence. Can you speak to a little bit about some of your experiences in that regard, what we're talking
about?
Well,
I can definitely relate to that position. You could also say, in a way, and I've heard people describe it, you know, you're going down a path, you know, I'm making a choice to go in this direction, and then you get tested, you know, so maybe the universe is testing your resolve. That's another way that you could, that I've heard that phenomena described, right? You get some little gremlin sticking their foot out to try to trip you up.
I think they're two separate things, but are connected at the same time. And remember, like you said, and like we say, the universe is a unity of opposites. What you're saying is a test or a trip up comes from the ego. The source of needing to be tested in order to really believe or achieve the result, that source is coming from the ego, not the sacred self. And the ego is greatly distorted to a large degree by the archons. So the archons really truly are the source of those tests in and of themselves.
Right.
But at the same time, there do exist, for certain people that want to do it and contract with themselves outside of the archonic influence, there are tests that people go through, and sometimes they're super fucking painful. So yes, you're right and I'm right at the same time. And that's a perfect example of how something could be nothing, something and everything all at once. This is excellent.
Hey man, let me go back real quick. I just want to wrap up on the license thing.
Yeah.
I there was one more thing I wanted to say about that.
Drop that knowledge.
And to me, the licensing process, as I described it, and as we find it, you know, where you need permission to do just about everything that, you know, maybe 100 years ago, it was just a given that that's something that you could do. You didn't require any authorities permission for it. And again, if you dig into it, under what circumstances could you imagine, for example, that you're on some land somewhere and you need permission to go from one place to another, or you need permission to conduct business, or you need permission to marry somebody. What type of circumstances come to mind where that kind of permission is required from some authority? Under what circumstances?
Well, I mean, that's just a de facto case. It's if you're asking, is there any circumstance where that might be required? I think that other than common sense regulations, like don't piss in the public water supply, don't dump toxic holes, yeah. And don't put recycle in the trash. You know, things like that are good. They're long-term sustainable options that are easy for everybody to do. They don't really cause a burden substantially to anybody to follow them. Yeah. I think those should be licensed and regulated, and I think the buck stops there to answer.
Yeah, I totally agree. A certain amount of regulation and so forth is just to make sure that people do common sense things.
That's right.
Just in case they don't have common sense.
Go ahead.
Sir. Yeah, what I was getting at is that how about a military takeover?
Well, it's interesting because in a military takeover, it's just a pure military takeover. If the military is operating according to the rules of war and laws of engagement and so on and so forth, they and the Geneva Convention and so on and so forth, their number one objective is to eliminate their enemy without a lot of civilian casualties, and they are required. So the invading force is required by international law to not specifically target the domestic civilian population. And in fact, the civilian population is even afforded basic rights as a vassal state during the temporary occupation. And that's exactly how Rome operated. That's how they got so big, is they would take over states and say, we'll kill you all right now, which of course there was no international law back then of this regard. They'd say, we'll just kill you all right now, or you can become a substate of Rome and we'll let you live in relative liberty, right?
Right. And with so some that's licenses.
Exactly. Licenses and taxes. And that's exactly where that stuff came from.
Right.
It all came from the Roman Empire.
Right. And you mentioned something, enemy, right? you know, you could say a combatant.
Well, yeah, here's the thing.
Is a form of enemy, but like, who's the enemy now?
Well, the enemy is a certain demographically declared target segment of the population in that nation, or a religious group that spans that population. Whatever it is, whatever excuse they use, it's still a targeted segment of the population. And to catch anybody else that they need to, they label them nowadays as enemy combatants, which is basically a catch-all term that says if you publish information that looks like it's supporting them in a positive light, this declared enemy, or if you assist them in any manner, or if you speak with them or converse with them or provide them aid or comfort, you're an enemy combatant. We can take you and provide you and treat you just like an enemy. Now, everybody else, they have to provide, all the good little citizens following the rules, they have to provide a certain measure of comfort and so on and so forth. Now, here's the thing. People in Roman vassal states, and I believe in past lives, so I'll say this with confidence, and you guys can correct me if you find anything to the contrary, but people in Roman vassal states probably, with a few exceptions, had it a lot better off than we do today, because there's like this lip service to freedom that's paid here. USA, USA, rah, 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 chanting, rallies, nationalism, whatever, waving the flag, hand over the heart bullshit, but you live in a fucking police state, which in many, many ways was a lot worse, than a Roman occupation and empire. Yeah, there's a lot of exceptions, and I acknowledge those, but let's take a look at the truth of it. They're supposed to be not targeting you. So you're supposed to be part of that civilization that gets privileges and whatnot. But if you step anywhere outside the line, anywhere, even like with citations for not keeping your grass short enough or the easement's not maintained, or whatever these little tiny fucking things are, those are considered military offenses to a certain degree, because everything is it's all connected through the federal military district system, and that's what you have is a governmental services corporation administering a military occupation, and the people are being held while the international bankers are just sucking everything dry. And so here's the thing: on top of this, they've declared everybody an enemy combatant for the most part, so they can pick up anybody at any time. Right. So, like I said, in comparison to having rights and privileges and now having the appearance of rights and privileges and could be targeted and killed at any time or tortured or whatever, we have it a lot worse off today than they did in the Roman vassal state. And so you need to come to terms with the fact that this country has been occupied for a long time, not just by the Democrats or by the Republicans or by George Soros or any of these people, which are bad people of their own, right? You know, certain people and elements within those groups and parties and organizations. But it's been going on forever.
Sure. What's the point? Trading with the Enemies Act.
There you go. And the Lieber Codes.
And the Lieber Codes, right. Martial law. We've been, unless I'm mistaken, my understanding is that we've been under martial law since the Civil War.
That's right. That's exactly what's happened.
Right? Congress never convened. Never reconvened after the Civil War, technically.
Yeah, there was a declaration of war. Fuck you, we're out. All the southern states left in the middle of session. We're not giving you our land. You can go kiss our ass. And then halfway through the war, slavery was a big issue. It existed. It was there before the war. I acknowledge that. But the use of slavery as an excuse or as a justification for the things that were being done and as sort of like a cover story, that didn't happen until a good ways into the war, and the Emancipation Proclamation was part of that and so on and so forth. But essentially, those slaves got converted under the 14th Amendment as financial slaves, and then they got everybody else to volunteer themselves. We talked about this last week. Right. Volunteer themselves into financial slavery, and then they went forward from there with the licensing and the registrations and so on and so forth. And now you have the days that we have today, which is exactly what you're talking about.
And on top of that, now it's, they've added more layers of code and statute and so forth, Patriot Act, mm-hmm. and all those kinds of things, which, technically, they could just zap you anywhere, anytime for no fucking reason.
Don't even have to be in the same area. They've got microwave weapons, ultra-low frequency weapons, you know, all sorts of things.
They bust your heart, they'll give you a coronary, they'll drop a fucking drone on you, whatever.
You guys see those scary looking, Corey, you've ever seen those scary looking towers? They're supposedly cell phone towers, except when you walk up to them, it has a sign, it's like, danger, stay away, radiation up to 200 feet from the center of this installation, you know? And those things can be used to modify weather patterns locally, and so in conjunction with the overall HAARP agenda, HAARP, look that up, and the chemtrails, they can actually modify anything they need to. What's more sinister than that is those are constantly running a soft program where they can map out every single individual in that county. Of course, it's not one person doing this. It's one person controlling software and programming. But the data is collected, and they can map out every single person's brain chemistry and uniquely identify it with a specific signature. And then they program the same or a volatile signature to match that, and they have it on file, and they can take any motherfucker out that they want to at any time by pressing that button while those people are, while they're tracking them on a GPS or satellite. They go, oh, he's passing by one of our towers on the highway or the side road. Boop! Guy has a fucking heart attack or an aneurysm, blows up his brain somehow, and you just think that something happened while he was driving. Well, no, that's not the case. He was taken out. So the technology is extremely insidious, and the people that are speaking out today are the number one targets for that. And the right to speak out or free speech is really being targeted, and not in the way that it's being portrayed in the liberal media and by people. They're like, oh my God, Trump's going to do this. Trump is attacking the First Amendment, and he's blah. No, the fucking media, if you can even call them that, the sycophantic buffoons and people that have been lapdogging for the Illuminati for the past however fucking many decades, those people are the ones that are restricting your right to understand. Free speech doesn't just mean free speech, the ability to talk. It also means the ability to read and share information that's spoken freely. That's one that's not touched on a lot. That's where the censorship is really applied with the deep state, is the sharing of material. Like on Facebook, they censor the fuck out of you if you share things, but not so much if you speak out freely. Right? Because that would be too overt. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. So what are your thoughts on that, about how this is really touching on free speech in this day and age? Or I would say, maybe, what do you think free speech is, and how do you conduct yourself using it? That'd be a better question for our listeners to gain a better understanding. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, free speech is like, it's the ability to present one's views on things, you know? And some people use it responsibly, I guess. Some people use it, you know, in a way to agitate or in an offensive kind of way, you know. But nonetheless, you know, some people say stupid shit about people or other situations, and whether or not it's true, I think the onus or the burden lies on the people who are receiving that information, right? If someone's talking out their ass, just talking bullshit, well, it's like, okay, if you want to get offended by some loser talking bullshit, that's one thing. But that's up to you. You know, you don't have a right to shut somebody down for saying something stupid. You have the obligation to either look into it or to disregard it altogether, or to not have it affect you adversely.
The third one, exactly, man.
Hence the terminology of butt hurt, which is just like, you know. I mean, people say stupid shit, man, and you know, all the time. And whether they're trying to make a constructive point, or whether they are honestly trying to convey the truth, or whether they're just flapping their gums. It's incumbent on the people hearing it to either take it with a grain of salt and just be like, yeah, okay, buddy, yeah, whatever, you know, regardless of how offensive. Now, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater.
There you go. Exceptions.
That's not free. That's not freedom of speech. That's creating a scenario that could cause harm.
Corey, you know? What if, let me break in real quick. What if every single person in that theater, let's say there's 100 other people, that's conservative, 100 other people in that theater, and you say fire and needlessly cause them to fear for their fucking lives and their family and their safety, would you call that emotional or mental anguish or damage?
Absolutely.
Now, what if each one of those persons' damage they thought was worth it, like $100,000 for that moment of terror? Would you be paying out a lot of fucking money if
you'd be asked out?
Okay. So that's where the liability creates the duty. Perceived liability, or if there's something that I could hurt somebody in some way and be held accountable for it. Honestly, that's really the only thing at the end of the day that people really instinctively listen to, for the most part. Obviously, there's exceptions with everything. So what I'm really saying is, if there's really no harsh or plain consequences for a behavior in society, or some sort of social stigma that's applied to it in a pervasive fashion, whether by social media or everywhere, then it's really not something that people are going to take a look at. And so, thusly, you have people yelling fire in crowded theaters still in 2017, or bomb on the airplane and shit like that. So yeah, you have free speech, dummy, but you also have the duty to understand how far you can go with it in certain sociable settings. If you're on the planet by yourself, then you truly are free and you could say whatever the fuck you want at any time. And likewise, like you talked about, Corey, the offensive part, you can say things that offend people to a certain extent, but if you're really just doing it to intentionally cause harm, then there is a burden on you to either take a punch in the face by somebody defending them or white knighting for that person, or be ready to be stabbed depending on if you're in jail or wherever you're at. Shit can get real really fast based on the words that you manifest into reality out of your mouth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll take it beyond the First Amendment. It's really about cause and effect. It's about natural law. You know, if some white guy were to just berate me out of the blue for no reason with a bunch of, you know, racial epithets and so on and so forth, and just be all up in my face, and, you know, he might get some. He might get something.
I don't doubt it.
Or in any situation. And back to the yelling fire in a theater. What if people, what if those 100 people in the room stampede out of the theater and, you know, 10 people are injured and 2 people die?
Yep.
Okay. So, you know, to round things up, yeah, rights comes with duties.
And what did we say? Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, privileges, rights, duties, benefits, and privileges.
There you go. Privileges and benefits.
Okay. Now, privileges and benefits have obligations behind them.
That's right.
You know, nothing is free. Nothing. That's the whole funny thing about freedom. You know, freedom ain't free.
But not for the reason you think. And the privileges and the benefits, Corey, I want the people to understand that the duties come without the rights. Meaning you get all the duties when you take privileges and benefits, and you don't get any rights because you're already supposedly receiving something. It's like we control what you get to benefit you, but you can't exercise a right in this contract while you're doing it. Which is, and I want to jump in real quick before we lose track on this.
Yeah.
Letting circumstances or the environment affect you. Again, the university of unity, I should say, of opposites. The school of the universe is trying to tell you that things happen opposite each other for you to unify them with your perception. The way you view both of these and apply them towards a benefit in your life or moving forward or whatever the goal is really the true game. So like you said, yeah, somebody could get something and get an ass whooping if they did that to you, that what you described. But at the same time, you're letting the environment affect you. So for an example, I'll say this. If you're standing out, you've been kicked out of your house, or let's say you want to go out and live a wild man adventure in the forest. That's a better example. You're out there in the middle of the forest and you're naked. You've got nothing with you. And boom, it starts raining and you're fucking cold and you're wet. The environment is affecting you. So remember, a unity of opposites. At the same time, this shit is fucking real. It's there. You're justified to react by shivering or being cold or being angry or feeling an emotion. You're justified. It doesn't mean that's the only course of action. Because you could then either A, let's see, if you're a badass, you could just meditate through it and make the water evaporate off your skin because you're heating your body so much. I've seen monks do shit like that. There's some crazy stuff that people can do right here in the States, not just across the seas. Or the more practical, efficient method is, if you're wet, go fucking find shelter. Go stand under a tree. Don't just stand there and get wet and be upset about it. So if somebody's pissing you off and you punch them, yeah, you can punch them, which is the equivalent of standing there and getting wet because it's not productive, right? It just creates a lot more shit. Or Corey, you can just be like, thanks, I'll take everything that you're saying to me that's so racially charged and I'll put it back to you, and hopefully the energy that hits you will make you understand that we're all one and race has nothing to do with it. Have a good day, douche, and then walk off.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And then you just built yourself a shelter.
Right. Or like you like to say that, any adverse energy that's directed towards me, I'm just gonna absorb it. And use it for my benefit.
I'll take what you're telling me as your insecurity and your own self-worth. Right. Bye. Exactly. And leave him swimming with that for a couple hours.
Exactly. And also, you know, by doing that, let's say in that situation that I mentioned, I just walk away, right? Well, really what I'm doing is I'm preventing myself from potentially getting arrested for battery.
Bingo.
Or assault, right? Because if somebody, you know, if somebody is saying words at me and I give him physical violence in return, that could go against me. More often than not, it will go against me.
That's true. And are you respecting his freedom of speech?
Right. And also, too, you know, there's certain in the statutes, depending on where you are, I'm sure there's certain degrees of what actually represents assault, right? You can be charged with assault for using words against someone in certain circumstances. But in all likelihood, if someone uses words to assault you and you use physical violence to assault them in return, you're going to get that shit end of the stick.
That's right. And again, you know, that's just one more time, the unity of opposites. Like in the fire example, yelling fire in a theater, if you cause somebody to fear for their life, it causes harm. It's an actual assault on their consciousness, on their stability, on their security, causing their entire life and everything they've ever worked for or learned to flash before their eyes. When nature does it, it's a natural event, and people respect that shit. But when somebody does it like that with ill will and nasty intention, that's a harm. It's an anomaly. I can actually say that fucking word now. But basically, Corey, what I want to bring into play is that you're 100% correct, and the statutes do say in most states that certain words and phrases and meanings or even intent can be construed as an actual physical assault. Because what does it do? Oh, I'm going to kill you, or I'm going to kill your kid, or blah, 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 whatever. Obviously, I'm speaking an example. But whatever you say to that person that causes them to have this fear is an actual harm. So, yes, you have just assaulted that person. And their duty or their obligation to not be butthurt offended has now been extinguished, and they now have the duty or the right to protect themselves and their person. So now one of their other – you caused by infringing – by offending them and then going over the line and actually infringing harm or causing harm to them, you've actually caused one of their other duties to appear, which is the duty to handle this life-threatening situation so that they don't get killed.
Self-defense.
You understand? So both parties are dealing with stuff at the same time. It's not just somebody is doing something to someone. That other person is either evolved enough to respond in a way that will save their life, or they fall apart. Mm-hmm. And you know what? At that point, no, that person doing the harm is not justified in doing it, but the person that falls apart is not justified in continuing that as a pattern and then wondering why the shit keeps manifesting in their life. Because the universe is trying to say, hey, I'm giving you this opportunity to scare the fuck out of you so that you respond properly and not react. You need to manage the instincts properly so that you will live a good life and that you can do the great things that you're meant to do 5 years from now or whenever the date is that your higher self knows that you're going to gain notoriety or publish a book or help a few kids or save somebody's life on the side of the road or whatever it may be that you're meant to do, because you are meant to do something no matter who you are. I don't care if you're retarded or if you're sitting on a couch smoking weed all day or whatever the fuck you're doing, like anything that you could be doing is serving some sort of purpose in some sort of way. And to a certain degree, a lot of that's being fucked with by the archonic system and influence, but the more you raise your vibration, Corey, and listeners, the more you raise your vibration, the more you become unfuckwithable. They can't rape you anymore. They can't fuck you. They can't fuck with your energy. Except in certain cases when a lot of these fucking guys get together and do their nasty black magic voodoo on people like I would say Edward Snowden and Julian Assange and even low-level people like us. I've experienced a lot of energetic attacks that I wasn't expecting or waiting for, so it caught me off guard. But to a certain extent, a lot of that stuff instantly goes back to those people now. It just goes boop, 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 10 times, right. Back on your ass. This is going to be your karma for the next 50 lifetimes. Enjoy that shit, buddy. Right. And so that moment of pain activated my duty to protect myself, and that's what I've done. So I'm not just telling you guys to do something that I don't do every day. In fact, I literally do this every day. And a lot of people that I surround myself with do this every day. Whether they know it or not, it's instinctual. When you reach a certain level of consciousness, a lot of that has to do with your diet, guys, honestly. When you reach a certain level of consciousness, even without meditating, you just have this oneness, this flow, this ability to unify opposites, and the urge also to speak out, right? Which is why we're doing this show, is to speak out, to show that you can speak out, to clarify what you can and can't say in natural law, and then to also highlight a few people that are really doing a good job of speaking out right now. I know a lot of people don't like Trump. We both know that, Corey. But what he represents is sort of a retaking of the public to a certain extent. There's a lot better candidates, I'll tell you that for a fact. You get me in there? Holy fuck, man. First day, executive order declaring the Federal Reserve a criminal enterprise and repatriating all their assets and nationalizing every single bank, and then declaring that the Federal Reserve national debt is illegal and criminal and therefore it's fraudulent, and then suing the fuck out of them to get money on top of that, and then doing everything to bring all the overseas military back over here and literally just protect the fucking country as it should be, getting rid of the chemtrails, going and assassinating and finding every single motherfucker who's responsible in the Illuminati chain, You understand? But the Archonic system has not allowed me to a certain extent, and I have not chosen that path for myself to go into politics for good reason, because I'd have so many fucking assassination attempts on me before I even get up there to say that shit. You know what I mean? Because they can target individuals energetically. They know what you're doing, where you are, by your fucking brain signature. And some of these aren't even physical constructs that are monitoring you. There's etheric programs. And a lot of powerful people, energetically, including myself and a lot of good people that I research and study and collaborate with, they have this protection level. And you do as well, Corey. Yours is a lot of fire. I don't know why it is, but every time I think about what's protecting you, it's just a lot of fire. Like, I mean, like, wall to wall, like, fire. Just huge fucking flames going everywhere.
I should be dead.
Yeah.
You know, I know you could say the same thing.
Both of us.
Yeah.
But we're here.
Yeah, man. Got things to do.
Okay, so who else is here, right? Well, let's some notable mentions, if you will. Having a little trouble with my throat and dry mouth. Sorry, guys, about the stammering there. So notable mentions, let's see, persons who will exercise this right constantly and consistently that I've come across. Well, first and foremost, let's just take the example of Marine Le Pen. She's actually running for the president of France. Those elections, I believe, conclude in end of May, June-ish sometime. It's very quick. They do their runoff elections, and then boom, they go to the general election, and then it's called from there. Essentially, she's been calling for everything from a restoration of the French Republic to repatriating the money supply, actually what we should be doing, which is getting rid of the international bankers, which ours is the Federal Reserve. I think theirs is something different. Republic National Bank of France, something like that. She's calling up
ECB.
That's right, and the ECB. And she's calling out all the EU leaders like Merkel and all these other people.
Oh, she called Merkel out devastating.
Did you see what I shared on Facebook? You guys should look at my timeline. Oh, my God. Jordan Michael Askew, go look at my timeline and look for Marine Le Pen. This woman is a true role model. She is just roasting these people in their fucking faces, just roasting them right up front. Literally standing up and saying, I represent the people, I represent everything that's meant to take you down and hunt you fuckers down, and I don't recognize your authority, I don't recognize... She's literally saying, I don't recognize you, fuck you. You know what I mean? And it's just...
swarming in their seats, man.
Dude, their faces, they're so incredulous. They're like, oh my God, is she really saying this right now? And like Merkel looks over... the guy who's sitting next to her, and he's like, yeah, saying something. Then she looks over off camera and at one of the translator people. She's like, is this really what's coming through my fucking earpiece?
Yeah.
And that right there, dude, that is what I endeavor to do when I help people with their with fighting a big bank or winning over Chase or fighting a foreclosure, which actually the foreclosures and the taxes, that's been the hardest fight the past few years. I'm not winning a lot of those anymore. They just do all this criminal shit. And if you don't have criminal enforcement, how do you put up with criminality? You just fucking make a record of it and hope that somebody who's not criminal will come along someday in a few years, and then you can go prosecute those motherfuckers. So essentially what I do when I help everybody is I'm trying to visualize what the other side is going to see when they receive the paperwork or the email or the contact or the phone call. I want to put myself in their shoes literally. And my reaction that I'm looking for them to have is essentially, what we're talking about here is just this incredulous, oh my God, are they really saying this? Is this really true? Can this really happen to me? What the fuck? Whoa, what are they doing? What? That type of shit. Calling out liability and saying, you will be personally liable. And even if you think you're not, if you fail to respond honorably to this, then the liability will fall upon you as a co-conspirator, whatever the language you use for whatever the situation is. You understand? So, again, Marine Le Pen, total fucking badass. A lot of people have compared her to Joan of Arc, and the reaction she gets, which is what I was talking about as the goal of my work, the reaction she gets from the people she's standing up against in controversy are just fucking priceless. They really are. They've got to be memorialized for the rest of the planet to see.
It's on YouTube, man.
Yeah. Fuck Hillary Clinton on everything already. And then for people to see her as a role model, I'm fucking vomiting right now. This is the role model they should be looking at. Marine Le Pen. Look her up A lot of slander going towards her. Like, they're doing the exact same thing, the exact same MO the deep state is using against her that they used against Donald Trump and continue to use.
Well, they also, I mean, her father was a big deal. Remember, I was in France for a few years in the 90s. I think his name was Jean Le Pen.
Jean-Marie Le Pen.
Yeah, man. And they just, they just painted him as this, you know, right-wing, nut job, racist, fascist, you know, anti-everything, anti-immigrant, anti-so on and That's so right. forth. And at the time, I kind of didn't pay him, I didn't really pay him that much mind. I certainly wasn't of the mind state that I am now and as knowledgeable about things. And I just thought, like, damn, this guy's, you know, no wonder people think he's a fucking nut job. I didn't really dig down deep into the politics and so forth. And I think she's probably carrying on, you know, his message a bit. But, you know, 20 years later or however many years later, you know, all of this stuff is, their positions seem to be a little more justified than even back then.
That's true. Well, it's just the reality of what they've been saying and warning against, and what we've been saying and warning against, is becoming ever more clear to every single person every day. And you guys, I will stop for a second. You guys got to check this out. Go on YouTube and search for Marine Le Pen versus BBC reporter or does BBC interview, something like that. There's just this fucking reptilian snake of an anchor, if you want to call him that. He's not even a reporter. And I know he's being, the camera never goes to his right ear or his right side. So I know he's being fed something through an earpiece. And they are just feeding him attack lines, and he's just trying to get them out as fast as he can, left and right. And if you ever want to see an example of what I call wordsmithing, and it's not the specific techniques, but if you really want to see wordsmithing, you're going to have to take a look at this and her responses and how fucking direct and tailored and just are on target that they are in rebutting everything that he's just said. There's no defending of one's character and then saying I'm a good person and then getting to the point like most politicians have to do, because everybody in the U.S. That watches the mainstream media has been fluoridated and GMO and vaccine, and most of them are not smart enough to see that these people are making a good point. And so the first thing that comes out of their mouth, they don't really, it has to be like, that might be true, but I did it because of this and blah, blah. Instead of attacking the opponent's point, you don't apologize for it in any degree. But right. That's what we see in U.S. politics. And right. If you look at her, she's really embodying the fuck politics. I'm going to tell you like it is. I don't care about my reputation. And I know people will respect me more for that because I'm not trying to pander. And I'm going to tell you exactly what I think and hammer you and make you look like a complete asshole and have no regard for mainstream ethics, which is, even if you're being harassed or hammered by the reporter, you never call out the deep state. Never do that.
Right.
But she's doing
politeness and political correctness.
But she's doing it.
She's on fire, man.
That's right. Okay, so a couple other people. Let's move on. So Marine Le Pen, you guys checked it out. YouTube is full of a lot of these guys are on YouTube that we're mentioning, with the exception of this one that I'm aware of. Nigel Farage is a key member, I think, in the British Parliament himself. And he was just a crucial part of getting the information awareness out. And I think also part of the legislation, could be wrong, of proposing and launching the Brexit vote, which is basically the exit from the European Union. And it's a domino effect that's started throughout the EU, with a lot of countries considering it, including France right now. And a lot of that has to do, Corey, with the immigration shit and the Muslim invasion stuff that's happening. And it's just, it's crazy. There's these exclusion zones in Sweden that are just completely crime-ridden, and it's just the worst fucking place you could ever be. Police don't even go in there to a limited extent. They do, but they're scared.
I had a conversation last night on this whole immigration thing.
And
basically, I use a quote from Malcolm X. It's chickens coming home to roost. Okay. Now, the people sat back and allowed their representatives, their government, to wage war on foreign countries and to destabilize them, namely in the Middle East, right?
That's right.
And, you know, I went to the protest march again in the first Iraq war, right? There might have been 10 million people up in the streets and so on and so forth. And then most everybody just went home and went about their business.
And so when it mattered most, what did that protest accomplish?
Nothing. And what it really did was just give a barometer for the deep state as to, okay, well, we see how far they're going to react.
Oh, you're going to protest, which we expected, but you're not going to do anything about trying to convince your loved ones to stay home and not fight corporate oil wars where rich people won't go fight them and nobody's right. ever gone. You know
or
what I mean?
Not so, go to work or not pay your taxes or yeah. shut the system down or whatever. Sure. So basically the whole European immigration thing, you know, the governments went in and destabilized these regions. And it's like a classic case of like white guilt on the national level, man.
That's right.
You know, oh, these people, their countries are completely war torn and destroyed. They have no place to go. Let's let them in. And then they get in, and like in the case of Sweden, they didn't have enough housing for people. They're putting them in fucking tent camps, in That's fucking true. Shanty towns. In ghettos, there's no already. These countries have serious unemployment problems, and now they're allowing in a bunch of other people from a completely different culture to make matters worse. Then they put them in. Then they get the youth unemployment in these communities in these so-called like as they call them no-go zones over 50%, 70% unemployment. Of the youth, right? Then there's the inevitable turning into crime, and also too, who are these people who are coming in? Maybe 90% of these people just want to come and make a better life for themselves, right? Not cause any problems, make a better life, do feed their families, so on and so forth. But then there's 10% probably, or some vocal minority, real small minority, that understands that their countries were destabilized by the government of the country that they are immigrating to, and they got a beef.
Yeah, that's a source cause of a lot of social problems. But here's the rub, and here's how it should work. Here's the problem. Cost of moving people, allowing them in, screening them, vetting them, housing them, feeding them, that's extremely high in your own domestic country. The way it should be done, and the whole reason why the humanitarian relief programs were set up under the EU structure, and why there's EU missions and bases and foreign government bases in every single nation for the most part, the reason for that is because when refugee crises happen, and Marine Le Pen touched on this, by the way, she's fucking smart, when they happen, it's incumbent upon the nations who want to help or believe they have a duty to help to help them in that country and create little camps and exclusion zones until the conflict in that country is over, and then they help them resettle.
To protect them in their own country.
That's right, and it's protected area.
Or a neighboring country.
That's right, but
not on a different continent with completely divergent cultures. And with, you know, I think it's intentional on a certain level. I think the elites are at war with all the little people,
right.
and the best way is the divide and conquer thing, which they did with, black folks and white folks here during slavery times, and the elites of Europe are against the lumpen proletariats of Europe, just as much as they are anyone else. And so, what's the best way to enslave their own populations? Is to bring this other disenfranchised population into the country and cause a bunch of fucking chaos.
Well, it's not working, and a lot of them are trying to get out. Hence, Nigel Farage and the Brexit and all that vote that happened, and that was before the general elections, by the way. And we're just going to wrap up here. We don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to also mention Mark Dice. I really like his videos. He's extremely sarcastic and uses shaming and ignorant shaming, basically. You should have known this. Why are you so ignorant? And really, really fucked up things that just people are just so ignorant in certain regards, and he just highlights it in his YouTube videos. And then also he's totally good at just demolishing and smashing people with logic when they try to bring these retarded, ridiculous arguments. So he uses a lot of common sense with fact-based stuff. It's laced with sarcasm and humor and some justifiable shaming techniques to wake people up. So it's a really good auditory delivery during his broadcast. You guys should check him out. He's pretty popular, and he's on YouTube. None of these guys are paying me to promote them. I just went through some of my favorite people that I enjoy listening to and who are really good at either wordsmithing or bringing the truth out. Another one of those guys is a really long-standing reporter and investigative journalist. His name's Bill Still. I believe he actually operates out of Washington, D.C., and is a small outfit that's on YouTube. And he's just consistently very, very indifferent, or how should I say, neutral, if you will. He's got really good sources of material that he provides, and so on and so forth. So check those guys out. We'll go back through Marine Le Pen, Nigel Farage, Mark Dice, Bill Still, Alex Jones, of course, Roger Stone, a whole bunch of other people that are doing their thing, including us, Jordan Askew, Corey Stevens, right? So that's about it for this episode. We've pretty much gone all the way that we can for our time period. I think next week what I want to do, Corey, and hopefully we're down, both of us, for this, is to just take calls and just questions. We'll take questions and answer calls and take comments and viewer comments and concerns, excuse me, listener comments and concerns, or anything they want to share or anything like that. You basically can just call in. That number for people is 888-429-5471, and you'll definitely want to use Station 2, I believe. So Station 2 is the one to press. So thank you very much for listening to another live episode of Piercing the Veil. Corey, thank you. I think we got a lot of good points balanced and out in this episode. And there's a lot of good information that people can replay and listen to on this one. So until next time, pierce the veil and the truth will reveal itself.